Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is Dan Friedel, and for VOA's Sunny Young in Washington, welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Here on August 10th, we'll bring you some updates on African sports from our intrepid correspondents on the continent, some news and sports features from Jim Stevenson's The Game Room podcast, a look at the results of the first round of the PGA Championship going on near St. Louis, some transfer news in English soccer ahead of the Premier League's opening weekend, and a discussion about Fortnite, a video game that is dominating computers and consoles around the world. First off, we're joined by Samson Omale, who has updates on soccer and track and field around Africa. Welcome, Samson.
We begin in France, where the FIFA Under-20 Female World Cup is currently underway. Nigeria on Thursday met Haiti, and it was Rashidat Ajibade's first half penalty kick that gave the girls a 1-0 edge over Haiti in Group D to secure a crucial 3 points, keeping their knockout round qualification hopes alive. Nigeria's final group game will be against China on Monday. There are 4 groups of 4, with the top 2 teams progressing to the quarterfinal stage. Ghana, the other African representative at this year's World Cup, hopes of qualifying to the last 8 were dashed with a 4-0 defeat to the Netherlands on Wednesday. And staying with women's football, ahead of the COSAFA Cup Women's Championship, South Africa's national women football coach Desiree Ellis is pleased with the players' fitness levels, considering the fact that the last time the team were in camp was 2 months ago. Coach Ellis has called the players to a selection camp ahead of the COSAFA Women's Championship, which takes place at the end of the month.
Well, we're busy qualifying for the World Cup. We just qualified for AFCON. We're going to the COSAFA Cup in September. We're the holders. Obviously, that is part of preparation. Yeah. It's similar. It's a tournament-type competition, which is similar to AFCON. And we've never won AFCON, and it would be fantastic to win it this time around because you automatically then qualify for the World Cup.
Former Nigerian international Emmanuel Amuneke is delighted with the opportunity afforded him to coach the Tanzania national team. The former Al Khartoum's gaffer was announced early this week as a new boss of the Taifa Stars after reaching a 2-year agreement with the country's federation. 47-year-old Coach Amuneke says his appointment is a new challenge as it will afford him a chance to develop football in the East African country.
We are here to see how we can contribute our own ideas to the development of Tanzanian football. Yeah, we are aware that we have a qualification in the AFCON. I think the next game is against Uganda, in Uganda. So I'm much aware of the challenges, I'm much aware of the expectations, but I can also tell you that in football, you don't make much promises. The best thing is you try to be focused and do what is needful for the team.
And now to athletics news. The Olympic, Commonwealth and 800 meters world champion, South Africa's Caster Semenya, says she's got her eyes to run faster times in the remaining races for the year. Caster Semenya returned to South Africa after smashing a 25-year-old African record in the 800 meters at the African Athletics Championships in Nigeria.
We still believe that we can still go faster. We just put a little bit of distance on hold, and then we focus more on 400, 800 meters, but obviously Tau 5 is still the goal. We will still, do, 3 events.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thank you, Samson. I'm always interested in hearing about what's in store for Caster Semenya after she burst onto the scene at the World Championships in 2009 in Berlin. Now let's turn to what some other African women are doing, this time on the soccer field. Mugume Davis Rakaringi joins us with a story on a female soccer goalkeeper in Uganda.
Aturo jumps high to make a save from one of the male players at Uganda Christian University Mukono Playground. Most evenings, Aturo and a few other female soccer players must assemble alongside their male counterparts for a soccer training session. Although Aturo loved playing soccer since was still a little girl. She never knew she'd play as a goalkeeper. In fact, she describes her start in the goalposts as in a funny way.
We had some small game whereby I was playing with some men and they were like, they didn't have a goalkeeper. So they told me, Ruth, can you please maybe come and stand in our goal and help us do something? But then I told them I don't have the idea of being in goal, but I had to force myself. So when I went to goal, I did something good that made everyone appreciate and I saved my team. So from that day onwards is when I started becoming a goalkeeper.
And that was in 2013 at Kawempe Secondary School, where she played for the school team as a striker or a forward. That year, she was voted the best goalkeeper after helping her team win Women League Championship. Consequently, she was summoned to the national team.
I do my extra training. I watch clips of the best goalkeepers. I watch maybe the Premier League, how those goalkeepers make it in goal. I like watching the Women World Cup teams, and my role model is Hope Solo from the USA. She's my best goalkeeper, and I like watching her clips.
Another female who trains alongside Arturo is left fullback Sharon Acheng Chiza, her teammate at Lady Cannons University team.
She's a friendly person, and actually, if we're on the pitch, she tries to communicate to the defensive line, and she always tells you what to do. She encourages you. If, like, whether you make a mistake or you conceive the goal, still she does that encouraging. Like, you don't give up when actually she's in the goal. And when she's in the goal, you're all comfortable that at least you have someone behind.
Peter Frank Seburime, the team manager and coach for the Lady Cannons, agrees.
She's willing to learn. She's a good commander in defense. She can organize. He can motivate the defenders so that they cannot shoot like those shots in the goal. You know, girls, they are not active, and they have that tendency that but Arturo doesn't have that. Even if he's in training, he's a very serious girl.
Arturo's main challenge is training and playing with male counterparts whose physique require her to put more energy. But she's taking that as an advantage.
Boys make me more sharp and concentrate because their work rate is very much different from ladies. They are so speedy and they're ever, maybe on your half. They shoot balls anytime whereby they make you be alert that anytime they're going to make me make a shot in goal. That is the positive part of it.
Arturo believes many international scouting agents watch her exploits at the Sekafa tournament, where she helped her team emerge second, just 3 points from winners Tanzania. For the Sony Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thank you, Mugume. It's great to hear about how women are improving in soccer in Africa. We look forward to following Arturo's progress as she improves in soccer. I'm Dan Friedel, in for Sonny Young in Washington. And you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Next up on the show, we're going to hear about some people who are trying to spread the American sport of baseball in Myanmar and get some words of wisdom from Ida Keeling, a 102-year-old woman who just published a book about her life, which included a running world record as a 95-year-old. Those stories are all part of Jim Stevenson's The Game Room podcast, available every week at voanews.com.
In Myanmar, the most popular sport is football. But baseball, which is America's national pastime, has carved a small niche for itself thanks to a man from Japan. This is where the game of baseball is literally a small grassroots movement. The infield of an old horse track is now the home field of the Myanmar national baseball team. The club is a collection of part-time players with day jobs. They include maintenance workers, a teacher, a cook, and a taxi driver named Jaw Thuyatun. He's 33 years old, married with two daughters.
I drive the car to work for my family, and I play baseball because I love it.
Toro Iwasaki of Japan, the founder of a local private primary school, started the team 18 years ago. The program gets very little financial support from the National Sports Ministry and depends mostly on money from Coach Iwasaki's own pocket to stay afloat.
Surely, I like baseball. I like baseball, and I'd like to introduce baseball in this country, spread more. This is my passion.
Play ball!
On a cloudy afternoon, the Myanmar national team took on a ragtag squad of expatriates from the United States and Japan.
I like coming out with the guys and the camaraderie that comes out of it.
Mick Amundsen-Giesel grew up in America and works as a guidance counselor at an international school in Yangon. But he's competing against the Myanmar national team, a team that he occasionally practices with.
It's definitely an American game, but it certainly has Asian aspects here. Like the language that they use and the cheers that they do.
You get a sense of baseball's popularity or lack of it in Myanmar by looking at the number of people in the stands. The team prepared a printout explaining the basic rules of the game in the local Burmese language to help fans understand it. Few people are familiar with baseball in Myanmar, where football, also known as soccer, is still king. But taxi driver Jaw Thuyatun has learned to love the game.
People don't even know what this uniform is for. In other countries, people know this is a baseball uniform. But here, it's hard to explain what baseball is about.
For now, baseball is likely to remain a fringe sport in Myanmar. But this team is making its own contribution, promoting America's national pastime. A 102-year-old woman from New York who set a world record as a runner just 7 years ago has published a memoir documenting the achievements and tribulations of her challenging life. Ida Keeling's newly published book is titled Can't Nothing Bring Me Down. Keeling began running in her late 60s. At the age of 95, she set the world record for her age group in the 60-meter race. She is also the first woman in history to complete a 100-meter race at the age of 100. What could have brought her down was the death of her two sons within a year of each other.
After they passed away, I just couldn't get over both of them. So I felt like I was going down. I'm already short. I'm getting shorter. I'm getting meaner, and I don't want to talk to nobody. Something went wrong, and I blamed myself.
Neeling says she took up running at her daughter's suggestion.
I went with this run, but while I was running, I was feeling my strength, and I was feeling like I was coming up out of a hole, and I just kept on going.
Despite arthritis in her fingers and knees, the 102-year-old starts every morning with stretching and some exercise, including push-ups. She encourages other people to stay physically active, regardless of age.
Get up and get around. You don't sit around doing nothing. Get up and do something. Sometimes you got things that, well, I don't like to do this. Get up and do it and get rid of it and look. See how different you feel. It's a big thing.
The number of people who live to be 100 is relatively small, but growing. The 2010 census recorded 53,000 centenarians living in the United States, 20,000 more than in 1980. Scientists say good genes are important, but that a healthy lifestyle and exercise contribute to longevity. The Game Room opens with new stories each week, or play anytime on voanews.com.
Thank you, Jim. You're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I'm Dan Friedel, filling in for Sunny here in Washington, D.C. Quickly turning to the Professional Golf Championship in St. Louis this week, the opening round closed on Thursday, with Gary Woodland shooting a round-best 64 and Ricky Fowler one shot behind. More than 40 golfers were bunched in the group sitting either at one under, even par, or one over. That group included Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy. A quick look at today's scores show that Woodland is now tied with Kevin Kisner. Kisner is through 13 holes today and shot a 6-under so far. Brooks Koepka is 2 shots behind with 7-under for the tournament. Now we're joined in studio by Prince Nesta, who has some Nesta nuggets for us ahead of the big opening match later today that starts the English Premier League season. Welcome to the show, Prince. Sporty greetings.
Sporty greetings to you too, Dan.
So yesterday was the transfer deadline day, Prince, with teams rushing to complete their last-minute deals before the season kicks off. We talked about a few of those big deals yesterday. Anything else happen later in the day?
Oh, yeah, it was a day full of drama. Various teams witnessed key signings and departures. Top on the list, Everton were busy in the markets and managed to sign 4 key players. The Toffees secured the signings of Barcelona's duo Yerry Mina, who plays centre-back, and Portuguese midfielder Andre Gomes. They also signed Brazilian international Bernard from Shakhtar Donetsk on a 4-year deal and French centre-back Kurt Zouma on a season-long loan from Chelsea. Jamie Vardy also signed a new 4-year deal at Leicester City, while Crystal Palace manager Roy Hodgson also signed a new 1-year contract extension to keep him at Selhurst Park until 2020. Ghanaian forward Jordan Ayew also joined Crystal Palace on a season-long loan from Swansea. The 26-year-old said, and I quote, "I'm very pleased to be here. It's been a long transfer window, but I finally got a move. The important thing for me now is to get fit and to be in good shape, and I know the manager wants to use me up front and make things happen." Leonardo Ochoa is also set to leave Leicester City after signing a permanent deal with an unnamed Mexican club.
So, Prince, we remember from a couple years ago that incredible turnaround that Leicester City had.
Yeah.
How important is it for them to sign Jamie Vardy for 4 more years and just establish him as the centerpiece of that franchise?
It's very important, considering the fact that Riyad Mahrez has actually joined Manchester City, and of course they have lost a prominent key figure in that particular team. So they keep their hopes alive by maintaining the status of Leicester City's striker, Jamie Vardy.
So, any other key or notable names that have been in the conversation in the last 24 hours before we head into a little bit of a talk about the games coming up this weekend?
Absolutely. Fulham were also very busy. They also managed to sign Luciano Vieto on a season-long loan from Atletico Madrid. They also signed left-sided midfielder and wing-back Joe Bryan from Bristol City, and also got goalkeeper Sergio Rico from Sevilla on a season-long loan.
Prince, fans of soccer, English soccer, all over Africa and all over the world. I know friends of mine will be setting their alarms for early tomorrow morning to watch some of the matches.
Yeah.
The Premier League season kicks off in a few hours. Who's going to be playing today?
Oh, yes, and I'm so excited about that. By the way, I'm also one of those people who are going to be waking up tomorrow very early in the morning. Well, today, Manchester United hosts Leicester City at Old Trafford. Manchester United fans won't like this. They will be without Antonio Valencia, Marcos Rojo, Diogo Dalot, Ander Herrera, and Nemanja Matic, who are all injured. Leicester manager Claude Puel will also decide whether to include striker Jamie Vardy, who just signed a new contract, and defender Henry Maguire, who are both returning late from the World Cup. It will also be interesting to see how Leicester City copes without their dependable attacking midfielder Riyad Mahrez, who just joined Manchester City. And also, it's worth noting that Jose Mourinho has never lost an opening day fixture in the Premier League campaign.
So, Prince, Saturday and Sunday, a couple more games on each day that you have as must-see television. Which games will you be watching Saturday and Sunday?
Great games lined up this weekend on Saturday and Sunday. Newcastle will be hosting Tottenham Hotspurs, while Chelsea will be away to Huddersfield Town. Well, I can't wait for Sunday, Dan. That's when the big match, my team Arsenal, will be taking on the defending champions Manchester City, while Liverpool will be taking on West Ham. We shall keep you updated on all the scores, fixtures, and results right here on the Sunny Side of Sports.
Thanks, Prince. It's been a pleasure talking to you the last couple weeks while I've been filling in for Sonny.
Anytime.
You're listening to The Sonny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Now we're joined in studio by VOA intern Alex Hodge. Alex is transitioning to journalism after a couple years of playing American-style football in college. Welcome to the show, Alex.
Thank you so much for having me, Dan.
Alex, I've heard you've been playing one of the most popular video games in the world right now. It's called Fortnite. We've seen the game referenced in pop culture and sports culture worldwide. So I'm a little bit of a gamer myself. I tend to focus on FIFA primarily, and I'm looking forward to the new edition of the game coming out this fall. What can you tell me about how Fortnite works, and how should I get started playing it?
Well, Fortnite, it's called a battle royale game where 100 people are loaded up into a bus, and you have to jump from the bus to land on the dystopian future-like land. So the object of the game is to eliminate the other 99 players. So along the way, you have to gather material, which is wood, brick, or stone. Then you have to gather weapons in order to eliminate the other players.
So Alex, can I play this game for free, or does it cost any money to get started?
Oh, without a doubt, you can play for free, and you can follow the challenges along the way to unlock new skins or new axe tools or new gliders. You don't spend a dime.
But you can spend money, is that correct?
Yes, you can. You spend a lot of money, actually.
How much money have you spent on this game?
I'll say probably $30 to $40 so far.
So the idea is that you can improve the quality of your player, you can improve the looks of the player, you can buy celebrations of your player. Have you heard any stories of people spending tens of thousands of dollars on this game?
Oh, without a doubt. I actually follow a YouTuber. His name is iMaverick. He spends about $1,000 a month on Fortnite.
You're kidding.
Without a doubt.
Okay, so if I'm going to download the game on my console, my PS4... would you suggest I spend a little time first watching videos on YouTube or Twitch to just familiarize myself with what I'm getting into?
Yeah, without a doubt. Since the game has been out for about a year now, so people are very experienced at the game. So I would download the game, play for a little bit, get yourself acclimated, and then go into spending money.
I see. So have we seen any of sports and Fortnite culture intersections so far this summer?
Yes, we have. And that's actually the beauty of Fortnite, how it has that pop culture appeal. So Ninja, who is the number one Fortnite player, he collaborated with Drake, the singer, Travis Scott, the rapper, and Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster. They actually broke the Twitch stream record for most people to watch on one Twitch stream.
And I also remember seeing Antoine Griezmann celebrate after scoring a penalty kick goal in the World Cup final match between France and Croatia. What was he doing?
So that was one of the most epic moments in sports history because he was doing the famous took the L dance. And he did it after scoring a goal, and it was at the World Cup with millions of people watching. It was epic.
So tell me about some of the issues that our listeners in Africa might have if they're trying to get into Fortnite.
Well, so South Africa is the biggest country in Africa to play video games. And so they don't have that good gaming servers since they're using European servers. So the game is really slow for them, and it causes a lot of problems for them.
One item of note that we were talking about earlier today is that there is going to be a World Cup for Fortnite starting next year. How much prize money is on the line?
$100 million.
You think you'll be able to get a piece of that?
Oh, I'm definitely going to try.
This time 2 years ago, Alex, we saw Pokemon Go everywhere. People were walking into trees, falling into water. They were so into that game, and now you hardly hear of anybody playing it. Do you think Fortnite is going to have more staying power than Pokemon Go?
Oh, without a doubt. It's totally eclipsed Pokemon Go, without a doubt.
Alex, thank you so much for joining us on The Sunny Side of Sports. And that wraps up our show for August 10th. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Patrick Dea. And thank you for tuning in. I'm Dan Friedel in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The people of Zimbabwe recently went to the polls to elect a new president. According to the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, incumbent president Emmerson Mnangagwa of the ruling ZANU-PF party won the July 30th election by a narrow margin. But the opposition said the results are fraudulent and has challenged the results in court. This election presented Zimbabwe with an historic chance to move beyond the political and economic mismanagement of the past and toward democratic change. The Zimbabwean people turned out massively to cast their votes, underscoring their aspirations for a better future, despite challenges during the pre-election period. Unfortunately, according to international observers, while Election Day itself was peaceful, the period directly after was marred by violence and disproportionate use of deadly force by security forces against protesters. The United States extends its condolences to the families and friends of those killed and injured, and calls on the leaders of all parties and their supporters to act peacefully. The United States welcomed the commitment by the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission to release comprehensive and transparent election results, said State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert. The United States will continue to review the data collected by its own observation teams, by international observation missions, and by local observers to make a complete assessment of the overall election. We encourage all stakeholders and citizens to pursue any grievances peacefully and through established legal channels, said Ms. Nauert, and we encourage all political leaders to show magnanimity in victory and graciousness in defeat. The United States remains focused on working with Zimbabwe as its people and government strive toward still needed comprehensive electoral, political, economic, and human rights reforms.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. If you have a comment, please write to Editorials, VOA, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. You may also comment and view all our current editorials at the VOA Editorials homepage, voanews.com/editorials.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music.
Wake up, dance this music.
Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. This week, African elections, fallout from a narrow and disputed victory for ZANU-PF in Zimbabwe, and we preview what's at stake for the runoff election in Mali, with J. Peter Pham, director of the Africa Center at the Atlantic Council, and John Tomaszewski, Africa director at the International Republican Institute. That's Encounter this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.